Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints. This is Don Nikoloff. I'm your host, and we have a repeat special guest this evening by special request. Before I bring our guest on, I would like to give a shout-out to all of my listeners in Florida who have been responding to the Ron Paul rally photos. Ron isn't doing all that well in the elections, if we're to believe what has been put out on the mainstream media. And, of course, we've got everyone chasing down the winner syndrome. In other words, nobody likes a loser, and so they like to tell us ahead of time who the winner's going to be, knowing human nature, knowing that we will change horses in midstream. We have stories like the Titanic to serve as an example when we consider all the men that would try to sneak onto the rescue boats, the few that there were, or the lifeboats, if you want to call them that. And we have the same situation going on in this primary election. There is documented rampant voter or vote corruption. The machines, the electronic machines, as well as the hand-counted ballots, are suffering at the hands of those that are staging these elections. And, of course, the media is pushing drastically out of nowhere, as if some miracle is occurring. John McCain has suddenly become the Republican favorite, and Hillary Clinton has jumped out into the lead on the Democratic side. We'll keep you posted as to any further developments. I can tell you to visit my website, directlightproductions.com. At the last video, or near, actually throughout the page now, I've got numerous examples, links to vote fraud articles or vote fraud videos, as well as a couple posted on the site. And there are some stories. A story I'm following very closely is the Peter Paul to Hillary Clinton $1.2 million campaign contribution that they're desperately trying to sweep under the rug to avoid any embarrassment or any criminal penalties toward Mrs. Clinton for not having reported receiving $1.2 million to the benefit of her senatorial campaign in the year 2000. So stay posted. Now, we apologize for the late start this evening, but if you are listening to an archive, and this show is coming up on an archive in the future, then you are late. With that, I will invite tonight's guest on board. He was with us last night, and by popular demand, I brought him back so that we can approach the spiritual half of the discussion that we had last night. And with that, I welcome my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, how are you tonight?
Hello, Don. Doing well. Thank you, sir. Thanks for inviting me back on.
No problem. Yeah, a lot of folks commented on the show last night and thought, as usual, you were a very interesting and informing guest, and I guess there's a little bit of entertainment there, too. And we're going to try to have some fun tonight, just to lighten things up.
Great.
This conspiracy research, and I intentionally leave the word theory out of there, because we don't really deal in theories. We're dealing with the truth. And even if the truth is about lies, then we have to approach it that way. I know you agree on that.
Yes, sir.
Well, from a more positive standpoint, and you know, we're going to talk about these things a little bit. You and I had an earlier discussion off the air, actually, where I wished we were actually taping the show. In fact, I kind of quipped, I wish I had this on tape. That happens between us quite often when we're talking about these issues. And I was reading to you a portion of a piece that I was writing, one of these stream of consciousness pieces. And it's always valuable to get another's perspective on the spiritual side of things. And I wanted to give you that opportunity tonight. And we were going to try to do this in a way where the audience actually learns something. At the same time, it's uplifting to listen to. So we're going to change.
Hopefully, a little entertaining.
Yes, so we're going to change our tune a little bit. Now, we can be sarcastic on this show if necessary, because these events that I've been describing and that we may bring into our conversation are worth and deserve sarcasm. So
absolutely, Don.
Feel free. We're going to try to stay low on the venom and high on the honey, if you know what I mean.
Perfect.
We were talking you and I about God and his role in all this. I mean, this is really all about God. Mm-hmm. When you get down to it.
That's right.
It's not about us, other than an opportunity for us in our next life, whether that's here or elsewhere, to experience that from a higher plane of consciousness. And so we have to become aware of who we are while we're here. I mean, that's part of the reason why we're here. And mm-hmm. and to affect a positive change on the world.
Yes, that's right, Don.
You want to comment on that, Mike?
Oh, sure, Don. I mean, what you have said there is the crux to everything. If we as individuals can awaken our awareness as to what we are and what we are not, then we're going to be able to really start to accomplish a tremendous amount of things here in this world for us as individuals and for us collectively as a country. And so, absolutely, that's essential to everything. And yet, where do you start? That's pretty much one of the keys to it all, is starting it at the right step. And as you pursue everything in this direction, and you find out what we really are, which are divine creatures made by an amazing being we call God, which of course is a title, that's not his name. And when we find out everything that he's given us as attributes, we realize that we are quite amazing creatures, very resilient, very healthy, and with tremendous potential.
Now, you say very resilient and very healthy, yet from many of the people I talk to, and you know, I'm intentionally leading you down a certain path here, many of the people I talk to are really not all that resilient. Maybe they are from tragedy, maybe bouncing back from tragedy, but mm-hmm. I think you're speaking more in a physical and a mental
yes.
sense.
Yes, that's right, Don. Yeah, I mean, emotionally resilient, that's great too, but the best resiliency that is to have it retained at the physical level, because then your emotions and everything else, your mental faculties, are all going to stay nice and sharp and positively oriented. And so, yes, resiliency at the physical level, which really means youth, Don, you know, because if you're resilient physically, that means you're elastic, and that means you have to be young, like a kid who, you know, you can knock them down, but they bounce right back up. They get hurt, but they just get right back in it, because it doesn't really faze you because you're resilient. And we're designed to be that way. And, you know, everybody, unfortunately, that's not experiencing that, All that means, Don, is they haven't discovered what they are and what they are not.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you discover what you are, you know, it's enlightenment. It is the big light bulb going off above your head. And then you realize, once you discover everything you are, you're realizing now simultaneously what you are not. And we are not simpletons evolved from an ocean over millennia, from a single cell through various primates to being a Homo sapien. That's all nonsense.
Yeah, you're speaking from identifying with the physical or aligning
ourselves
in a physical perspective.
Just right down where we're just viewing ourselves strictly physical, you see. Those concepts relate to a mindset that believes in only physical reality and that's it. And therefore, you're denying yourself everything, all these attributes that you potentially have latently within you.
Or a mindset that wants us to believe that desires us to believe that we are only of a physical reality.
Absolutely. Because
therefore, all the physical control.
Absolutely, because if those thoughts are being promulgated out there, being generated by something, and we're not generating, so somebody wants that mindset out there for us to fall into line with accepting, believing that that's the real reality. And so that's right, absolutely. We have to make choices as to what we want to believe as to what reality is. But, of course, when you're making these choices, you have to have critical analyzation. Because how can you make a wise choice if you don't know how to observe and analyze properly? And so that all has to come into play. And as it all does come in and fall into place properly, then we realize that we are powerful beings. We're not limited. And in any sense of the word, there's no such thing as limitations. We are unlimited, productive energy beings. And when we are operating the way God designed us to be in that mode, there's nothing that can stop us because we never get sick. You never get run. Even when you're run down, you still got energy.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. That's what makes life grand when you're living in that mode.
Now, Jesus mentioned, you know, that we come to the Lord. We come to Him with the mind of a child. So He was speaking about this innocence and this newness. In fact, we're offered newness of life. So there's a truth in what you're saying from the physical perspective, but He didn't just mean the physical. He acknowledged in that when He said mind, He wasn't couching that word mind in some secret language. And so He meant also with an attitude, with the forethought and the mindset that we would... Or the expectation. You know how a child waits on Christmas Eve to open his presents the next day. And many families, you know, although it's a tradition to wait until Christmas Day, many families actually open their gifts to one another on Christmas Eve. It's that they can't hold that anticipation back. And I imagine if we wait another 10 years or so, if we even make it that far, then... That may get pushed up a day or two earlier, even that the anticipation is going to be so great that the physical restraint is lost. Now, what we're really getting toward or moving toward is the reality that everything is really spirit, at least as far as human beings are concerned, and we know that there is a consciousness that aligns or attunes animals and plants through nature to the Creator, to God. And so we must learn or relearn or remember how to tap into that and align ourselves with that. That's really my understanding and my knowledge and my experience is that when I allow that process to occur, that that's when I get the communication lines open. I don't see into the future or perceive something that's happening on another plane unless I'm aligning myself to that. I certainly can't approach it from a Luciferian approach or a satanic approach. There are those that do. That's what sets up the whole issue of this matrix or this paradigm that we're caught in, is that we succumb to the forces that are really masquerading as the light, masquerading as being from God. Mm-hmm. And here we're talking now about learning how to discern, learning how to recognize spirit, which is something that the dark side lacks, totally lacks. So they have to mimic it. Or they have to trick us into the belief system that what we're seeing and what we're thinking is our reality, which, again, keeps us from knowing spirit. Do you agree with that, or do you want to comment on that?
Well done. I mean, everything you're saying there is very accurate, and it's pretty much the challenges of what we're up against. What it comes down to, of course, the Lord himself, Jesus, taught us everything we need to know, if it was only all recorded properly, to keep us free. As he said, I am the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When the Lord referred to, you must be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven, so it's interpreted as, yes, innocence and all that, sure, that's got a lot to do with it, but actually, what he's really alluding to is the fact that when we're born and we're still in a child phase of growth, we have the essence still within us dominantly because we're fresh and we're a fresh creation, newly born. And so the spark of life, the essence of the Holy Spirit, God, is in us. And so unfortunately, when we're born, though, everything is designed in this system to stunt that essence from developing any further, and if possible, make it disappear. And they've got that down perfectly, because just look at the kids today. By the time they're getting into teenager years, that essence, that little spark, is virtually gone. And so that essence is what it's all about, recognizing the essence, because that is God. And so when I try to expand on that a little further, so people can appreciate what that really means. Right now, while we're talking, Don, and we're engaged in a conversation now, my heart is pumping blood throughout my body, and air, oxygen's being extracted in the lungs, and all kinds of metabolic activity and functions are occurring at the cellular level with all kinds of glands and organs and stuff. Okay, now, while that's all going on and we're conversing here, who's making that happen? I am not doing that consciously, telling my body, make sure you're pumping blood, make sure you get that oxygen out of the air quick, you know, cells in the heart, make sure you're doing this, cells in the pancreas, make sure you're doing that. Who's directing all that?
I would venture a guess, it's Al Gore.
Yeah, through his internet connections that he got into the ethereal level now.
well, he discovered the internet, he invented it, and he also discovered global warming.
Yes.
So it would have to be Al Gore. That would be my best guess.
Well, thank God for us it isn't Al Gore, because if it was, we'd be all haywired right now.
Now, at this point, the listening audience either thinks that we planned this or that I'm insane. Which is it?
Planned what?
This response I just gave
your question. Okay, no. But of course, answer is, you know, it's God behind the scenes controlling our bodies, making them function. Now, is God doing it consciously to each of us as individuals? No, it's all part of his natural order that we're born into, that the essence is connected to. And so that's the key about being, retaining the childlike nature, having the essence that we were born with and keeping it through our whole lives. That ensures us our heavenly pass when the time comes. And so learning what this essence is, the real part of us, and cultivating it, That's what all the great teachings through the ages are really all about.
Yes. Now, of course, you know I was being facetious there.
But
I was leading to, Jesus was also talking about our faith and our trust, not only in what he was saying, but just in the reality of, or the nature of God.
Right.
And, you know, God has a nature just like Earth has nature, and it's no different from God's nature. He put that intelligence into all things.
That's right.
And our controllers, our leaders, our government representatives, and the secret behind the scenes representatives know that, and so they're bent on destroying the connection that we have with the all-seeing eternal, and trying to keep us from awakening to that. Problem is that too many of us have awakened.
That's right.
Many have been awakened for a long time.
That's really the bottom line to what we're up against right now. It's all about trying to suppress the truth, and ultimately which means individuals recognizing the truth about what they are and what they are not. Because once you realize what you are, that you're a divine being made by an incredible God, then you realize, now limitations begin to disappear. I can do this. I know I can do that. Now confidence and desire and productive dreaming, where you have goals and visions of things you want to attain, all of that just starts to surge, and they don't want that.
Well, those are extensions of the creative process that you're
That's
describing.
Right.
Now, I would graciously like to add to what you're saying, and look at the what we are, really as the who we are, because or add that to what you're saying, and that when you say what we are, you know, when if I ask you the question, what was that, you think, what is the thing?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Sure.
Now, if I say who we are, if I say who is that, now you think of a person. You think higher than just some inanimate thing or some object that's moving or causing some reaction. The who is the nature of beingness.
That's
who we
right.
are, and remembering
right.
that. Now, remembering is this is a difficult subject to just go right into here. Did you bring a dictionary with you tonight, Michael?
I have one right in my back pocket, John.
Or a thesaurus. A member is, and you and I have even talked about this on other shows quite some months ago, actually. A member of an organization is a part of the organization, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. A member of my body is a part of my body, like an
That's
arm
right.
or a leg. Usually we call members appendages. It could be a hand or a finger, even, on a smaller scale. But when we remember in a mental sense or in a spiritual sense, we recall. In other words, the consciousness of remembering or remembrance, the memory of returns to us, and it far exceeds the mental plane, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
When you have that experience of, man, I've been through this before. When did I experience this? We call it, we use the French term déjà vu, which means already seen. And so we have that experience, yet when we say it in English, we say déjà vu, and that means already you in French. So it's important to say it correctly. If we're going to use a language, even a foreign language, the pronunciation has everything to do with the meaning of what we say.
Sure.
You can really distort the meaning of words by mispronouncing them. But that's just a little French lesson for the listeners out there. So we say déjà vu, meaning already seen. And that can be taken in many, many ways. It can actually be a spiritual consciousness sneaking through the senses, the normal five senses. And when we say already seen, sometimes we don't see these things with our physical eyes, but mentally we have the remembrance that this was an experience, or we recall that experience. And so as one is spiritually awakening, they often have these flashes of consciousness that we attribute to a mental recalling of an event, or what we call remembering. Any comment about that?
Well, what I would say regarding memory is that memory is part of everything. For example, at the physical level, when you get a cut somewhere, the body heals the cut. Now, why is it healing? Because it has a memory pattern of knowing exactly the way it's supposed to be perfectly, and now something changed it, and it's going to restore it to being perfect again based on its inherent memory patterns. And so we all have these memory patterns inherent in us, whether it's at the physical level, at the cellular level, or for us at our human level, at the mental level, for example. Deep in our memory banks, we all know everything. Mm-hmm. And if we, over time, expand our awareness efficiently, then that allows access to new memory banks, and then more information will be accessible, more insight comes about, and then the individual begins to understand more and more about who they are, what they are, and what they are not. So memory is everything. And people need to learn how to exercise it much more. And, of course, you can't have a really good memory if your body's not really in good shape, because a healthy mind's a healthy body, and a healthy body's a healthy mind. It's a two-way street. You can't separate the two. So they hinge on each other. But the memory to everything is so key, because memory is related to awareness, Don, and awareness is everything. I don't know if you ever heard the old little story about the fly. Okay, now there's a fly in the kitchen, a couple flies. It's a little great-great-grandson and a great-great-great-granddad. They're hanging out in somebody's kitchen, and the great-great-great-granddad is telling that great-great-grandson, you see that human over there? Well, that human is a god, because that human was in here in this building when I was your size. And my great-great-great-grandpa, he was telling me about him. And that human hasn't changed one bit over all this time where we come and go. That person still looks the same. So he's a god. Now, that little story gives us a feel of what the power of awareness is all about. You see, the greater the awareness, the greater the being. The less the awareness is, the less the being will be. So the insects have a much smaller awareness than we do. Nonetheless, they do have awareness, because it's a creature created by God. It has intelligence. It has awareness. And God is the one that possesses all the awareness. He knows everything, aware of everything, through every little nook and cranny of his creation. He knows what's going on. A sparrow falls, a hair falls out of somebody's head. He knows everything in all the universes, all simultaneously. That's a major awareness. And so, of course, he lives forever with that awareness. And the Lord, he lives forever because his awareness is pretty much that great. And all the good angels in the heavenly realms, their awarenesses are all pretty advanced to the point where they, too, live seemingly forever. So awareness is what enables all that. The more you have, the longer you're going to live automatically. It's amazing, but true.
Now, what you're talking about, and yes, I agree with you 100% on this, this awareness you're talking about also is referred to as consciousness. And then, of course, we have super consciousness, which is generally considered to be that awareness or that consciousness that is beyond our comprehension or beyond our awareness. And as you were talking about the healing and the fact that the body knows how to heal itself, as a young boy, I used to contemplate whether healing actually occurred because my body knew how to heal, or I wondered if I was getting in touch with some other source that was causing the healing to take place, and that just my submitting to the healing was actually the cause of it. And I came to learn that it's actually a combination of both.
There you go.
Okay. Now, that opened the door for me to the miracle of laying on of hands or healing through prayer. That mm-hmm. You didn't have to touch a person or didn't even have to be in their proximity to pray for them and to affect the healing. Now, that is to heal the world's problems and to heal some of the people that are creating the world's problems, and in a sense we're all contributing to that on some level, although
sure.
We like to put the blame on the ones doing the dirtiest deeds. We have a responsibility, first of all, to recognize that how we think and how we feel about these things and what we actually do about raising our own consciousness affects the whole scenario that's unfolding before
us. Absolutely. Sure.
So I'm speaking on a level where a lot of people that haven't been there are going to have trouble with it. Most of the listeners at BBS Radio understand this process. They've experienced some miracle or some tragic event, and they've survived it, and they've questioned what it was about their making it through the event. Many have had near-death experiences,
mm-hmm.
and they've come back, and many times regretfully so. I myself did not want to come back when I saw what
sure.
there was to return to, but
sure.
I came back with that consciousness, and I came back with this burning desire to awaken others to this reality that we don't have to die. It's not necessary to die to improve the quality of our life, but we have to change what we're doing.
Yes, sir, Don. I mean, the bottom line to this existence is that we, as the highest form of organic life on this planet, because that's another piece of information that has to be taken into the awareness to get to the sufficient level where we become powerful, and you realize that we are the highest form of organic life on the planet, which is, and all organic life on this planet is like the skin of a body. It's very thin, and the body's vast, the earth is thick, but the organic life is just a little film-like skin on its surface, and yet it's critical for all that organic life to keep the natural ecosystems going. And so the purpose of this organic life is to channel energy coming in from the spiritual realms. That's what keeps the physical going, the physical realms going. And what people have to learn is that we, as the highest form of organic life, the Lord's highest expression of perfection in the animal world is humans, and we are like angels. We're made like angels. And that was known in the old times. That's why the Lord even says, and it's in Scripture, know ye not, ye are gods. There's a nice little teaching nobody talks about.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of responsibility comes with that one. And
yeah.
So,
now,
yeah?
I was just going to say, now you mentioned thin skin. So you just told me why politicians have such a problem, let's say, learning that or achieving that higher consciousness. And that's because they're told that to be a politician, you have to have thick skin.
I think it's a thick skin and a void spot where the heart normally is. Plus, I'm pretty sure, Don, I'm pretty sure also there's a big gap between the ears. Those are the qualifications for a modern politician, I'm pretty sure, today.
Well, I had to, you opened that door, so I had to open it, step through, let's say.
Well, unfortunately, that's part of the reality today, too.
Yeah.
Don, you know, what it comes down to is, to just wrap up what you were touching upon, because it's really It's really so important because the fundamental thing for us to realize is we are qualifying energy with every thought we think and word we say, and that's how we either help the world or we make the world worse. And so as individuals, if we're all in control of our thoughts, thinking positively, and our words, saying positive words, then we are qualifying energy positively and will be constructive to our personal world, our immediate environment, and also the world at large. And so, yes, people are misfiring all the time without realizing it, generating negative energy, misqualifying the energy and generating it to be negative charged without realizing it consciously, being aware of it, and through not controlling their mind, their thoughts, and what's coming out of their mouth. And so, absolutely, we're causing either all the woes here individually, or we're making the world a nice place by being in control of everything we think and say.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I, again, I agree with what you're saying. I'd like to, this jumped up at me, and it was something that I heard earlier this evening when I was listening to John Clark on the Rick Adams show. Now, this is on another network, and I don't condone changing your dial from BBS Radio, folks. But
Rick Adams, he's worth listening to. He's a good guy.
Yes. He had John Clark on his show tonight, and I don't know if you caught that show.
No, I didn't.
It was absolutely riveting what is going on in Florida.
Oh.
And he expounded upon this. He's been researching this for some time, and it's going to get some people angry. It's going to draw attention to yet another issue of what's happening to our borders and what's intended to implode this country, which underscores what we're talking about tonight and how important it is for people to awaken and come to a sense of who they really are and what they are, as you said, and understand that we do not have to submit to this thing. But this is another example of the truth coming out. If I can explain briefly what Mr. Clark's interview was about, you're going to find this very interesting. He talked about one of the islands near Puerto Rico. Basically, we have an open-door policy that if you're in Puerto Rico, you can come to the mainland United States, and there's virtually no customs check whatsoever.
Right.
Now, other than to determine that you were in Puerto Rico, boom, you're in.
Right. They're using it as a staging point.
Yes. Now, he was speaking about the island of Mona, which is one of the smaller islands off the coast of Puerto Rico. And Mona is being used to bring illegal aliens from Cuba. And they're bringing them in humongous numbers. And he actually went to a recent hearing before the Senate, one of the Senate committees. I think it was Patrick Leahy's Judiciary Committee, and they gave him a response. Out of, let's say, every 2,000 people that are sneaking over the border, and what they're doing is they're coming in boats and they're jumping out of the boats and they're swimming to the shore.
Right.
They're scattering. In other words, there's no way they can stop all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they're jumping out of the boats and they're swimming to the shore, and you make it to the shore and you're in. All you have to do is say that you've come in from Mona. They're given $10,000. They're given, now they're saying $10,000 worth of health care is how they're describing it, as well as small business loans to get started.
Oh, boy, very generous.
And of course, the taxpayers are paying for this. And then he did an investigation on the fence that's being constructed along the southwestern border of the United States.
Yeah, right.
And they have filmed the Border Patrol and people that are monitoring the illegals coming over the border, which is really a problem for those people.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine if you own a piece of borderline property that is being trashed by these people. Some are dying on your property.
And all kinds of crime going on. I mean, it's just incredible that they're getting away with this activity still, Don.
Yeah, and they filmed these border guards and some of these people that live in the area climbing over the fence. They said it doesn't even take a minute. They can climb over the fence.
Yeah.
Or they can completely cut the fence open. So we have more of the same rhetoric going on.
Sure.
And this total insanity. And then you have basically every candidate that is running for the presidency right now is pro what's going on. They're allowing this to occur.
And Mumon, you know, when you hear him in the debates, I mean, you don't really even hear him discussing any of this, do you?
No, it's a question they post to Ron Paul because they try to embarrass him, they try to make him stand out, but they don't put the other candidates up to the same
litmus
test.
Yep, they don't put them on the spot.
And they use sarcasm, and they have these, I call them the Cheshire Cat grins, where they're smirking and almost chuckling out loud amongst each other on camera. They make sure the camera catches this, too.
Wow.
When John McCain talks, for the moment, he's out of the public's eye, Rudy Giuliani. But any of the candidates, they put the camera on them, and by and large, Mitt Romney, for example, they zoom right in on their face. Now, occasionally, you'll get one of these token profile shots that you'll see three or four or five of the candidates lined up together. Now, the numbers have dwindled down. So they pulled this fast one on CNN one time where they had Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards. Then John Edwards bows out. Now it's just the race is between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. But we said in the beginning, and I said it on this show many nights, even when you were on here, that you can smell a rat coming. We know that the Bilderberg Group already decided Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president.
They decided that when she had to move into New York to run for senator, which was an easy shoo-in, clearly showing a fast-track operation, getting her prepped for exactly where she is now.
Yes, and despite all the corruption she was involved in, what gets me is all the people in New York, if they voted for her, I underscore if. Because
the city
of the
too, Don. We here in New York, we need to annex New York City because the way they vote down there is counter to the rest of the state, except for Buffalo, probably, and that's where she's cleaning up, and they outvote us. And in outside of the cities, she's getting some votes, but not as many. The urban areas is where they clean up with the dirty politics. We've heard reports of bussing in people that don't even vote in that district, and they're getting away with it. Nobody's, you know, on top of that one and nailing them for it. That's how bad it is.
Yes, we've got to grow spiritually to the extent to where the fear of taking on this responsibility is dissolved or evaporated.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Many people don't take action just out of fear.
Don, many people won't even talk because they're out of fear, let alone take action. You know, like when I go in and I voted the other day in the primaries for Ron Paul, and I told the few people that were there in the booth, the ladies overseeing the elections and people coming in to vote, I'd see they're going to the Democratic side, and usually I could size them right up and say they're voting for Clinton. There's a female. She looks. Let's say lonely, and definitely probably a Hillary supporter. And so I say, hey, Ron Paul, right, people? It's either Ron Paul or no more country, right? And I get into some conversation with some people right there and explain to them more. But most people, they don't even talk, let alone take any action. And that's why they're getting away with so much. But we definitely have to put our feet down quick, otherwise we're not going to have a country anymore.
Yeah, I mentioned the vote corruption in several states this afternoon on the TNT NewsHour, and it bears mentioning that my red flag went up at the outcome of the Iowa caucus. And then New Hampshire, we have videotaped evidence. It's posted on my website. I don't know if you had a chance to see it. It will blow your mind. It's actually bordering on ludicrous humor that you can remove these seals despite this
wow.
reassuring description of one of the poll workers that you know, these seals make these boxes impenetrable and safe and tamper-proof, and with the signature of the Secretary of State, there's no hoodwinking that can go on. Yet these people took a new label, put it on the box, and pulled it right off without doing any damage to the box nor to the label. And you can do this over and over again. These
right.
are, you know, it's not Scotch 206 that they put on these labels. You know, you have to get a jackhammer out to
right.
to remove the glue.
Sure.
This was set up to be fraudulent.
Right.
At every turn, whether it was the handwritten counts or the electronic votes. And so when you went in there, it to a large extent, and you probably knew this on some level, that, and this is the problem of being discerning, is that you get the signals, the alarms go off, your antennas go up, something is wrong. And so you tune in and you begin seeing what it is that's wrong. Now, we're able to back that up with evidence. And remember, you're on the Evident Footprint show, folks. We back it up with evidence, and still they deny. As if somehow now their lies will undo the actual physical evidence. So they
right.
take the physical level and they bring it up to the mental level, as if now somehow they can reason away what we see with our eyes.
Well, they do it via their controlled media. That's how they pull it off every time, because the majority of the public still tunes into that for their news and information, and that's how they pull it off, Don.
And that's based upon that belief system that I so hate, because it keeps you from achieving knowledge and the
right.
wisdom that comes
and,
from the knowledge.
That's right. That's right. In order to get the knowledge and the wisdom, you have to be thinking. And that and what they do is they try to keep you from thinking. And they do it very well.
Well, you know, I'm the kind of guy, when I'm in the voting booth, I'm the guy that will talk out loud and say, would someone come here and show me where the Ron Paul button is?
Yeah, that's great, Dan. You know, in fact, you were just reminding me, while I was in there ready to drop the Ron Paul lever, I'm like, let's see, commie, 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 commie. Okay, Ron Paul, here we go.
Yeah, and you wonder, too, now, you know, we get these everything is turning into Spanish, and this is nothing against the Latino people, but my
sure.
God, this is still America.
That's right.
I had a package shipped to me from Florida via Federal Express, and I was doing some tracking of the package, and before I heard a word in English, it started asking me if
wow.
I wanted Spanish or not.
That's,
it
yeah,
didn't
I know.
Even give me now the option. This
yeah.
is a first.
That's incredible.
I don't know anyone else that has described that situation yet. Usually it's press one for English,
that's right.
two for Spanish. It just went right into Spanish and said, you know, do you want to speak in Spanish?
Well, I'll tell you, Don, I mean, we've definitely got to put our feet down here. And the American people have to start to exercise their authority and power, because I'm sick and tired of it. Seeing Spanish here, or going to a store and it's in Spanish and English everywhere. Hey, no disrespect, like you're saying. If I'm in a Spanish country, I will speak their language gladly. And when they're in my country, they better speak my language or hit the road, buddy. Now, I got no problem with multiple languages, but when it comes to conducting business here in the United States of America under this constitutional republic, English only. Thank you.
Well, you know, I have to say it's been quite a while since I used Federal Express, but it is totally humanless in terms of who you deal with in conducting the business transaction. The only contact with a human you get is the person that actually delivers a package. And I can tell you that I had no choice in this transaction because of the other party dealing with Federal Express. But I can tell you that I will write them a letter, and I will tell them until they change their business policies, I refuse to do business with them anymore.
Don, that's it right there, pal. That's what we got to realize is, listen, let's not participate in their system and avoid it as much as possible, and that's how we'll exercise our freedom, and eventually we'll get our full control back in our government as well. Let's boycott their system every chance we can. People, don't, if you don't need it, don't buy it. Don't, if you don't need to go there, then don't go there. Don't show support to any of these globalist UN one world government corporations or enterprises, industries, whatever it may be. When you go into a supermarket and you're looking for produce, and if it's not grown in the United States, don't buy it. Let it sit there. Let it rot. When they're not making money on us, guess what? They're going to come running back wanting to kiss our behinds because they want that buck out of our pocket. And let's make them earn it like that again.
Well, the way you put it, it makes me want to buy it anyway because I'd choose that before having them kiss my behind. But... It's all perspective, I guess.
Well, you know, if they're coming back to kiss your behind, now you're exercising some leverage over these bastards because they're willing to do that. Right now, they're not. Right now, they're saying you don't like it, tough, starve. You don't like the Chinese clothing we're selling you, this crap Chinese tooling we're selling you, tough crap. But when we say, hey, we don't want it, I'm not giving you a penny for it. You can let it rot. I hope you choke on it. I hope you lose everything on it. And then when they start to, guess what? Oh, we need your business back. We need it back. And that's where the old shinola comes back. And so once we get them into that mode, we got leverage on them, and then we can get them further on their knees until we can just squash them, because that's ultimately what this country's going to need to do.
You know, you brought up a point too in using the example you just used about the grocery store, and I want to point something out because it dawned on me exactly what's happening. Where do we get most of our produce? We get our produce from out of the country. Okay,
this time of year, especially, right?
Yeah, we're getting produce from China. And
Canada and Mexico.
Well,
South America, Central America.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Now, what's happening to the Mexicans, the people that grow their food in regionally or on a local level? You know, they're very much like Europe. They have those traditions, and that probably comes from Spain, in that they have the open markets in the street, in the town square. In the morning or on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And I experienced this when I was in Europe. I could virtually go out any day of the week and in certain countries and buy my groceries that morning. So I'd have fresh food.
Sure.
That's if you could find fresh food.
Right.
And in Mexico, for much less money than you can imagine, they grow their own crops, so they can survive on their own food. But they depend on being able, the farmers, the fruit growers or the vegetable growers, depend on being able to export their goods. But they're not offered enough money to even warrant the cost of raising the crops, much like the game they played on our farmers,
it's
where
the
they
exact
were paying...
Same game.
They paid our farmers the subsidies not to grow crops.
Not to grow, exactly. It's the same game on all the farmers everywhere. And then what they're doing now is they're making us, they're taking produce from foreign countries and giving it to our stores. Where is our produce going?
Well,
it must
going
go into them.
It's going to Mexico, and
yeah,
it's
exactly
going so cheaply that they can't, they can't survive because they can't sell their vegetables, and they can't get the cash they need to buy.
Right, Don. And so this is designed to drive out every little independent farmer everywhere so that the big monopolized Rockefeller corporations can own all the food supplies everywhere, and then they're ready to starve everybody out that won't participate in their New World Order system.
Yes. Now that brings up another issue, and if we can sort of segue into this issue.
And sure, Don, and before you do, let me just say, that's why you don't buy any foreign produce or anything foreign people unless you absolutely need it. Let it sit there, let it rot, let them choke on it, and then next thing you know, they won't be trying to sell it to you anymore. Okay, Don.
Okay. And this is about milk and bovine growth hormone, or what they call BGH. There is an epidemic now of the amount of BGH that they're injecting into the milk cattle or milk cows, and
those are steroids.
There was a team. In fact, a good friend, a mutual friend, sent me the video of this off of a YouTube video, and it's from Steve Wilson and Jane Aker, who were two independent producers, news journalists that, or videographers, we could call them, that approached Fox News. And were given a project. The first thing they had to do was do the promos on the shows that they were going to do. Then they assembled a very detailed, well-researched, 100% honest story about BGH and how it was affecting the people who were drinking the milk. You had young girls growing breasts, And menstruating as early as 10 years old.
That's right.
This is documented now for a number of years, and they ran
a
special for the Fox News outlet in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, when they came out with the story, they hadn't broadcast it yet. But when the attorneys for Monsanto. Get it, Monsanto. This is the same company that's genetically modifying our produce and
everything.
Our food.
They're doing it to everything.
And most likely, they're involved in the cloning and this insane animal vegetable clones that they're or hybrids that they're trying to develop.
They're behind all of that.
Okay. To make a long story short, when they were sort of, Fox was sort of threatened that this might cause a problem with Monsanto, that they were going to air this.
Mm-hmm.
And they had begun broadcasting, promoting the show, let's say, promoting it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the promos, when the promos got to Monsanto and they found out what was going on, someone had to tip them off, of course.
Right.
Someone who was probably making money off of Monsanto stock.
Sure.
And Monsanto had their attorney, a high-powered attorney in New York, write a letter to them. And then when they still proceeded to go ahead with this, they warned Fox that there would be dire consequences as a result.
Wow.
Now, Fox took a different approach, and they began attacking the very two people that they had hired to do this story.
Well,
after all these promotional commercials and all the investment of time and money into the project, they told them, well, we have to take this out. And Steve Wilson, in the video, he's flat out saying, you want me to lie to the viewers? You're asking me to lie. And they said, well, we don't want you to lie, but, you know, we don't want to get sued. And they made them redo this video not once, not twice.
Really?
Not three times. Take a guess how many times they redid it.
Just really? Just that many times?
Take a guess.
6.
Try 83. 80. Now, by the 10th time, I would have told him to take a hike.
You got it.
But
83.
83
it's
times.
It's hard to believe.
They redid the script and the shoot to where it wasn't even the same story.
I was going to say that.
and then they were supposed to air it, and they turned around and fired them after putting them through this for a whole year.
Wow.
You know, producing a video like this is not done in a day.
Sure. And
you're talking about just a short story here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hard work. And your
right.
nose to the grindstone,
that's
you can
right.
get video work done in a few days, even a very large piece. But you have to do without eating, and you have to do without sleeping. You can get it done in a good 3 days. I've worked on some three-hour projects that are longer. They're twice as long as the average theatrical film or feature film. Usually they're around 90 minutes, somewhere in that vicinity. So 3 hours is like doing two films, and we've done them in 3 days. But to rewrite this over a period of months and months and months, and I'm sure, a whole year, they were arguing about the very principle of the lies, and, well, this is not
exactly.
even true. You know, to print this and to put it on film and to lead the public or mislead the public into thinking that this was something that was safe, it takes the whole essence out of the story.
Almost well, sounds they criminal, became, Don.
Well, yes, they became whistleblowers, and they got their story out on a YouTube video. Isn't that interesting how ironic the truth will eventually come out? Now, not only...
You can't kill the truth. That's the beauty of God.
Yes, in a short video that I'm sure nobody messed around with, they brought out their side of the story, and they exposed Fox for what it really is. And this is the spin machine that is trying to engineer this election, along with the other networks. They're all in on
it.
Got
it, Don. Big spin machines is what they are.
But you now have to stop and think, because this becomes, we're not just telling the listeners this story just to show the plight of these two film producers or these journalists. It's the content behind the story.
It's the suppressing of the truth.
Yes, milk is not safe to drink. They have played God.
Commercial milk is not safe. Organic is fine.
Yes, but I'm talking about, the milk that's processed.
That's classified as commercial, Don.
Yes. In the pasteurization and the whole process of the source of this milk is what I'm getting at. Not milk in general.
It's not the pasteurization or homogenization. It's right down to the way the cows are fed and the way they're treated. See, in the commercial farms, those cows are in a stall 24/7 with a bag feeder on their mouth, and all they're doing their whole life is eating and crapping. And sorry to put it so bluntly, but that's all they're doing if you see it. And whereas in the organic product, the cows are actually living the way God intended. They're out in a pasture, in the sun, grazing on grass, emotionally content and happy because they're living as a cow. In a pasture, in the sun, eating grass, which grass is what makes healthy milk, not grains with steroids and hormones and antibiotics and roadkill and everything else they put in that commercial feed.
Yes, of course they're out there with the chemtrails, though. Let's not forget that.
Yes, but the grass will keep them healthy.
Yes,
that's
yes.
the beauty of God. The grass is God's power in the earth. That's why it's everywhere, and it sustains all vegetarian animals with no problem, no matter how bad the pollution is everywhere else. That grass will keep them healthy.
Yes, well, see, we come back to nature, and we come back to these ultimate truths about who we are and what we are. And
it always comes back to God, huh, Don?
Yeah, and who we would choose to be. It's our choice. We were given that choice as part of our birthright, and that's right. We are trying our best to restore to our listeners and to the people throughout the world. We're reminding you that you do have a choice,
and
to stop doing what you're told.
That's right, and
you must
understand that you're a beautiful creature by design with all kinds of latent faculties you just haven't worked with yet, you haven't stimulated yet, you haven't awakened yet, so that these faculties can enhance your life, so your quality of living is greatly improved.
Yes. You know, I'm reminded of something that our parents used to say when we were younger and we would talk at the dinner table. Sometimes they just didn't want to hear the conversation, so they would give us these words of wisdom: shut your mouth and eat your food. And somehow that sequence didn't make sense to me.
Right.
How was I going to eat my food with my mouth shut?
It's contradicting logic, Dad.
but I'm joking. I know what they meant.
That's all you need is this, come back with a snide remark like that, and then that'll really get you.
Well, I did. And they did.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
Yeah. You have to be able to look at the humor in all this. But, you know,
yes.
I mean, it provokes anger when you know.
Sure it does.
And you know, that's part of waking up.
That's right.
Is that you're going to come to the realization that there are many things we have been set up, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've broken into your house and they've violated the sanctity of your home and they've violated your privacy, and they're continuing to do that. They're ramping up the level of that and the eavesdropping and the electronic surveillance.
That's right.
and it's getting very sadistic. But we
yes.
can change that reality by changing our perception of who we are and coming
exactly.
coming
our to, perception, our awareness, and then our behavior.
Yes. So you better behave, Michael.
I'm trying. But every time I see these commies, I definitely get a little a little peeved.
I know, you get a little perturbed.
Yeah, I hate commies and traitors and Nazis and devil worshippers. I have no tolerance, Don. That tolerance thing they taught in the government schools just never took root for me. I always remained intolerant to things that I found very offensive to freedom and to individual liberties. And I'll never accept it as long as I live.
Well, you can presume, probably by transitive property, that every talk show guest, every talk show host, and probably every talk show listener, as well as executive producer like Don Newsom and a talk show engineer like Seth Hendrick, is cut from the same cloth.
We're
all in that that same mold, and we're exercising our creativity and our God-given rights to choose who we are and what we wish to be or to
That's
become.
That's right, Don. It's a beautiful thing, and to be associated with all you guys, it's just a real privilege and a pleasure. And we're also exercising our American freedoms and rights that our founding fathers had given us, the best we can, the ones that are still available to us. And so we're exercising them again, unlike a lot of Americans that don't want to exercise these freedoms and rights. And so we're doing all that, and I think this is the renaissance activity occurring around our country at the grassroots level that's going to eventually be used to restore this country to the greatness that the Lord intends it to become, once
yes.
and for all.
One way or another, it's going to happen. And, Michael, we are out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodnight to you. I guess we owe Mr. Al Gore a special thank you for making the show possible, because if he hadn't warned us about global warming. After he invented the Internet, this show wouldn't even be possible.
So, well, Don, I'd like to thank you for having me on the show, and I would like to extend that courteousness to Al Gore with a rope around a tree limb someday and see him swing a little bit. And so, but that's just my American, you know, patriotism showing there. That's all that is.
Okay, Michael, until the next time, you take care, okay? And
we look forward
to having you back soon.
Pleasure, Don. Thank you, sir.
Folks, good night, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and our special guest tonight was Mr. Michael Anthony. And we're going to say peace, love, and light. I'll see you tomorrow night. Sleep well, and goodbye.